Flashback to the time when I was 6 years old. I remember going after school to daycare, and there was a group of friends I had, and then there was a group of bullies that I tried to avoid. But I remember there was a season that they caught up with me, and there would always be a price to pay when that happened. But I remember they caught me one time after school there in the right next to the sandbox, and there was a couple of them that actually held me while a couple other ones were slapping me. And it was, you know, it was just a terrifying thing, and I remember squirming to try to get away, and when I did, I slipped down, and the back of my head hit the corner of the wooden sandbox. All of a sudden, blood was everywhere, and all of a sudden, the kids were sorry that they did this. Next thing I know, I'm in the hospital getting stitches, and I was terrified to go back to preschool the next day. But as I walked in there, all the kids that normally had picked on me went the other way, and I didn't know what was going on. And all of a sudden, the big kid, now I don't know how big he was, but in my mind back then, he was just towering 8 feet, and he came over to me and said, "From now on, if they give you trouble, you come to me." And from that moment, I was all set. And from that moment, I felt incredibly brave. And can I tell you, for the past 3 to 4 months, life has felt for me in many ways that there have been the bullies in life that have tried to knock me down, where I felt my head maybe knocking against the corner of the sandbox in life and blood kind of covering over me. Sorry to be a little bit graphic there, but it feels like sometimes in life that the kicks just don't stop. And, you know, that's just me, and that's just on a personal, localized level. I've got people I love, people I care about that are dealing with a whole bunch of things and big problems. I look at the prayer requests. I see people in our church that are dealing with all different kinds of things. You throw in a coronavirus and all the concerns that that has all over the world, and then you find out a few days ago that our church temporarily has no place to meet, and you begin to scramble and say, what's going to be our response to that? What are we going to do? How are we going to be able to serve our community? How are we going to be able to serve our church? And all of a sudden, it hits the brakes on all the plans you had, and you're dealing with all kinds of uncertainty in every area of life. And in those moments, I wish I had a bodyguard again. Kind of like in those preschool days. I wish I had someone bigger, someone stronger than all the forces pounding on me, whether they're viral or whether they're circumstantial, someone that would stand up to all those forces and all those things in life and say, oh no, you're not going to pound him down. Instead, you're going to have to answer to me. You ever feel like that in life where you wish that you had a helper? That you had a protector, that you had a wise guide and a strong champion, someone that could be there for you, that could stand up for you and look out for you, someone who's bigger than all the other forces in life, someone who is stronger, who can deal with your fears, your anxieties, and help you to feel comfortable, help you to feel brave no matter what it is that you're going on, someone that can deal with all these things that are going on in your heart and all the things that are going around you. Well, we have to understand today that we do have that. You see, we do have someone who can deal with all of these things, and my hope today is that he will become bigger and more apparent and more clear to you, and that we can find our focus in times of trouble, in the times that we live in, and we can figure that out. And what we're going to talk about today is how we can access God in times of trouble, because we often say we can turn to God in times of trouble, but the question is, what does that look like for us today? And that's going to be our high-level focus. Here's the one thought that I want to get across today that I want us to explore today is that in times of trouble, turn to God for the help and the hope that you need. Again, the question though, how do we do that? Well, if you have your Bibles, you have your apps, whatever it is you're looking at today, I want you to open up to Psalm 46. It's this short psalm. And the book of Psalms is a collection of poems or songs in which the authors pour their hearts and pour their souls out. At the same time, they make a big deal of God and lift him up and elevate him and demonstrate and exalt him as the hero that he is in all these things. So in Psalm 46, whether if you have any level of familiarity with the Bible, there's going to be some verses that you're already familiar with. And that's great. But what I hope today in my prayer has been is that these verses will bring fresh hope and fresh comfort to your soul as we look and remind ourselves of the truths in God's Word. So Psalm 46, we'll just read the whole thing and then we'll talk about it. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The first thing that we need to do to turn to God in times of trouble for the hope and the help that we need is to redirect. Now, let me tell you, up until just a couple of days ago, I was planning to continue today in our Get Up and Walk series, had a whole message kind of mapped out on what we were going to do. And then all of a sudden, I sensed with everything going on in the world, all the conversations that were happening, the best thing I could do is try to step into that and speak to what God would have me to do. So I sensed God redirecting. So started all over and began afresh with that. Oh, and by the way, we had a course correction and some redirection even a few weeks ago when all of a sudden we got the call and said, "Oh, your meeting space that your church meets in every week, by the way, you're not going to be able to meet there." And before we figured out we weren't going to do online services, we knew what we weren't going to do, and we had to scramble. And by the way, I want to say that we are recording this message from Valley Brook Community Church, and thank you guys so much for making the space available. But there's been so much redirection, so many things happening, so many things up in the air. And your life gets redirected too, doesn't it? I mean, you make your plans, and your plans get changed. Maybe you've heard this proverb, Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord directs their steps. Or maybe you've heard the modern version of this proverb. Do you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. Because again, we're going to make our plans, and that's something that's important to do. You see, in life, we need to move, we need to make decisions, we need to operate in what we believe is the good thing to do and what we believe is the godly thing to do. But what we always remember is that in all of these things, God is sovereign. And at any moment, he can take the plans that we've made and he can redirect you in life. And he's at work in all of the things that are crazy, all the things that are going around us, all of these things, God is still in control. And you see, when our life gets redirected, sometimes we interpret that differently. We assume that maybe God isn't present with us. Maybe God's out on a break. Maybe God doesn't care. Maybe God's not that involved. Or maybe God dropped the ball. And none of that is true. You see, sometimes circumstances redirect us God's way, but often circumstances shake us up. They squash our plans, squash everything that we had been working on, and they give us a choice. How will we operate in times of trouble? Not just what we're going to do next, but how we're going to move forward and what is going to motivate the decisions that we make. You see, in times like this, we come to the realization that we can operate on two different paths, fear or faith. Now, before we do, because we all know, right, if we're followers of Jesus, we know, oh, we got to choose the faith path. But before we just jump to that and dismiss the path of fear, I think we have to recognize that there is good reason to fear. There's a lot of things we can actually be afraid of. When we consider the world on a macro level, or when we consider our world locally, there's a lot going on. As the text describes, the earth may give way. The mountains may fall into the sea. Waters may roar. Mountains may quake. I mean, natural disasters may happen all around us. And that's kind of terrifying. Also, it's terrifying to see what's going on in our world right now. That, wow, there's this little tiny virus that is crippling the world right now as we speak. And we're all concerned that this thing may spread to us or the people that we love and infect many people and actually take many people's lives. Or maybe, you know, if you're not dealing with that fear, you're on the other side. You're one of those people that are laughing at all the people and say, oh, that's ridiculous, the kind of terror and panic that people are giving into. And there is one question I have and one thing, and if you know the answer to this, I will laugh at this, and if you know the answer, you can write it on Facebook, on the post, or you can send me an email, is why in the world are people buying up all the toilet paper? I still don't understand that, and if you know that, I want you to send me the answer. But here's what I'll say. If you're one of those people that are kind of laughing at the panic, maybe you're actually afraid of fear itself. You're afraid of what the panic is going to do to the economy, what the panic is going to do to all the businesses that are around, that are being shut down, the church. What is it going to do to our church? What is it going to do to a community when the thing we have, the church, is not a building, the church is the people, and if the people can't meet, what's that going to look like? How is it going to impact our ability to serve our church, our community for Jesus? And so listen, I think that when we look at the world, we just have to be honest as a people of faith. If we want to be helpful to other people, then we need to be honest that there is plenty to be afraid of, but we also have to remember that we don't have to live in fear. There's plenty to be afraid of, but we don't have to live that way because there is another path, and that's faith. Faith in God. You see, what that means is that we recognize and realize that there are things that are terrifying. And it is not saying that we don't have any fear. It's what it's saying is that we refuse to operate in that fear. We refuse to let this fear cripple us and to be what motivates our decisions. And we're not going to respond and operate out of that. And so what this looks like for us when we decide that we're going to not operate out of fear, for some, it's tweaks. And like, okay, we were doing okay, but maybe fear was moving us just a little bit and we need to tweak and make an adjustment. For some of us, to be honest, what it means is we need to do a 180. We were going in this direction. We're walking down the path of fear. And instead, we need to turn and move the exact opposite direction because, again, we're operating in a way that we shouldn't. Now, do you remember in the New Testament when Jesus walked on water? That's pretty cool. Every time you read it, it's pretty amazing. And apparently, Peter thought it was pretty cool too, because when Jesus was walking on the water, he said, hey, Jesus, can I come out to you? And Jesus said, yeah, come on out. And here is the amazing thing. He did. And think how terrifying it must have been. I mean, there is a storm raging around them, and then there's the danger of the water, the winds, the waves, and the sea creatures. And yet, despite the fear of all these very real things, Peter steps out in faith, and he does it. He walks on water. You see, we can live in a radically different way when we're operating out of faith instead of being crippled by the fear that may keep us in the boat in life, instead of ever stepping out into things that God calls us to. But what happens? After walking a few steps on water, doing what's impossible to do, Peter sank. Why? Because he took his eyes off of Jesus and he put them back on the wind. He put them back on the raging waters. He lost his focus and he gave back into fear over faith and he sank. And you see, that's us so often. I mean, how many of us were heading down a path in life of futility and fear and basically a dead end, even if we were maybe having a good time some of the way along there, and then God reached out to you, you trusted Jesus, you put your faith in him, and your life became so different. Your life became transformed, and you were like walking on water compared to how you used to live. Or how many of us have some war stories? You've been through the grinder in life, and what you once were is now completely different than the person that God turned you into. And again, Jesus has taken you and from where you were, and you've done the miraculous. And that's your story. I look at it this way. Here's my story in a nutshell. Psalm 34:6. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him from all his troubles. That's my story. For many of you, that's your story too. And yet, despite that, in times of trouble, we find ourselves just like Peter, walking on water, looking at Jesus, and then the storms rage, the winds rage. We take our eyes off Jesus, we put them on the circumstances around us, and we began to sink once again, and fear grips us. And look, I've been there in those moments, walking with Jesus one moment, I lose my focus, and all of a sudden, I'm sinking once again. But here is what we can learn from the Apostle Peter about redirecting from fear to faith. Listen to this in Matthew 14:30. But when he, Peter, saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out these three words that you may need to say and pray today. Lord, save me. You see, in that moment with that urgent, utter prayer, he was crying out to God, and Jesus, he turned back to Jesus once again. He turned to God in times of trouble. And that's exactly what we need to do. Even if it's not this articulate Shakespearean prayer, even if it's as simple as, Lord, save me. We just turn ourselves back to God. And the reason we do that is because God can be trusted, even in times of trouble. We just have to make God our focal point. And the psalmist in the psalm we read tells us why. He says, God is our refuge. Do you remember playing tag when you were a kid? And the only thing you wanted to do is when you were being chased is get back to base. Because if you knew if you were back at base, then no matter what happened, you were safe. God is our base. God is our place of safety. And you know, our country historically has been a place where people from nations all over the world who have been oppressed where they lived can come and find safety and refuge in our land. And in the same way, God is our refuge. No matter what you've come from, no matter what oppression you've come from, God is our refuge. Also, it says that God is our strength. Has life ever beat the fight out of you? Has it brought you to your knees to the point where you say, I don't have anything left? What I would say to you is if you haven't been to that point yet, then keep on living. Because at some point, something's going to happen so overwhelming, or a whole bunch of things are going to converge at one time that is so overwhelming that you've got nothing left to fight with. And at this point, and some of you might be saying, oh, well, thank you, Pastor. That's so encouraging. What I would say to you is it is encouraging, because when you come to the end of your strength, that's where God can really work. Listen to 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, that's Jesus speaking to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Do you want to be strong? Then come to God in your weakness and watch his power overflow you in ways that you never could have imagined before and enable you to live stronger in faith than you ever can before. Not only does the psalmist tell us that God's our refuge, he's our strength, it says that he is an ever-present help in time of trouble. If you're desperate, maybe you call the police. Maybe you call the pastor. Maybe you call your family member. Maybe you call your friend. There's a lot of people in your life you can probably call. But have you realized they're not available 24/7? People sleep. People take breaks. People hit the do not disturb on their phone. And yet God, 24/7, in your darkest hour, right now at this very moment, is available to you. Isn't that amazing? You have an ever-present help that you can turn to. He can help you, and he can comfort you. It doesn't mean that he always changes your circumstances. It does mean that you never have to go through them alone. You know, when you look at some of the areas in our world right now that are going through some difficult issues with the coronavirus, for example, you look at Italy, the whole nation is under quarantine right now. It's in lockdown. And one of the things you read the reports out of there is that people are missing companionship. People are lonely. This whole social distancing thing and flattening the curve, I get the reason for it. It's part of what we're doing in our services online. But it goes against the grain in the way that God wired us, because even the introverted person needs community, because that's exactly how God created us. And Craig Rochelle, many of us are doing the Lent devotional right now on the YouVersion app. Well, he and his church, Life Church, are the ones that helped create that and did that. He right now is even in a self-quarantine because he was exposed to the virus. And one of the things that he said he misses most is the simple things in life, like dinner with his family and being able to see and experience other people. But here's the thing, even if you're alone right now, even if you feel lonely right now, you don't actually have to be alone, because God is with you. Verse 7 says, the Lord Almighty is with us. Now, when we say turn to God in times of trouble, it doesn't mean we need to go find him. Because God is already there, it means we just have to turn to him and trust him to find the comfort, the hope, the peace, the strength, everything that we need in his presence, because he is with us. You see, it's one of the great promises for the follower of Jesus. We have so many promises in Jesus. And many of us know the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Did you know, we know the command there, go and make disciples of all the earth. We always focus on that. But you know, in those verses, there's not just a command, there's also a promise. Matthew 28:20, Jesus says this, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus says, I am with you today. I'm with you. You're not facing anything that you're dealing with alone. Jesus never promised to take away all the hard things from you. He simply promised that he would be with you every step of the way, even now. And that's why in verse 2 of Psalm 46, and some of you need to write this down somewhere, therefore we will not fear. It's not because there aren't things to be afraid of. It's because God is with us. So we don't need to operate out of fear, but out of faith in Jesus, your ever-present help. So let's redirect our focus, redirect our trust in him. But there's one other thing we can do to turn to God in times of trouble for the hope and help we need. It's not only redirect, but it is relax. Men, have you ever learned that if you're arguing with your spouse in the middle of that, if she's angry and upset, that the very worst thing you can say is relax or calm down? I can guarantee that's going to have the opposite effect of what you're trying to do, and you're welcome for that sage advice. Now, some of you right now, as you're dealing with everything going on in life, you may be feeling hurt, you may be feeling angry, you may be afraid, and so when I say relax, it may have that same effect on you, but what I want to say is hang on and let me explain. Verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." That word still in the original Hebrew language means relax. It means calm down. It's being still and knowing he's God. That doesn't mean you sit around and do nothing forever and don't go anywhere while burying your head in the sand and pretending that things aren't happening in life. It doesn't mean that at all. It means getting off the terror train that you and the people are around you are riding on. You get off at the next stop and experience the calm of knowing that God is in control, even in the midst of all the chaos. And that's one of our big problems right now, isn't it? Loss of control. We don't have control over anything that's going on. That's one of the reasons we're so afraid with this whole pandemic that's going on right now, is we know that we can adjust, we can adapt, but we can't control any of what's going on. And so it is, it's true with the other circumstances in life. The reason we're upset, the reason we're frustrated is we can't control it. In other areas of life, we think, oh, we can't control this, we can't control that. But what happens many times, even that, the lid gets blown off, the mask gets blown off, and we realize that there's so many things that are out of our control, that many times what we thought was in control was just the illusion of control. And when that's blown away and when that's torn away, suddenly we find ourselves upset once again. In fact, for many of us, we freak out. And listen, I say this to you as a human being with all the faults, all the frailties, all the failures of any other person. And again, the past few months, as I've shared, has been super challenging for me, super difficult. In 15 years as a pastor at Calvary Fellowship, almost 20 years in full-time ministry, I've got to say, it's been among the most difficult seasons in my life, to the point where you lose sleep. This is a point where I've had a lot of long talks alone with God. And that's the great thing, is that in these moments, he can pull you closer to him and redirect you. But one of the things that I had to deal with is that really, I don't have very much control when it comes to life. And what I had to do is continually turn back to God and recognize that he does have control, and that is what I should find comfort in. But I had to be still. I had to stop trying to maintain the control. I had to surrender. I had to calm down. You see, like Peter, you and I have to keep relearning the lessons of faith, don't we? We have to remember that we have to put faith over fear, and we need to keep relearning the lessons of control and surrender. We have to keep turning back to Jesus every time the waters rage over our head and we're sinking once again because we took our eyes off of Jesus. We put them on the circumstances. We put them on the news. We put them on our social media feed, and we got ourselves all worked up into a frenzy again. We began to sink once again, and we have to turn back to Jesus, and we have to cry out, Lord, save me. Rescue me. And that's not a one-time thing we do, the moment of conversion, we do that, but it's something we should probably be doing every day so that we can experience Jesus pulling us back up once again out of the water, bringing us into a place of safety so we can begin to experience the calm and experience the focus that we find in Jesus and not the panic over the winds and the waves. And I think as we talk about this today, I have a feeling that there's a lot of us that need to relax right about now. And again, that doesn't mean to not be wise. It doesn't mean to take proper precautions, whether it's coronavirus or something else. It means simply to still yourself before God, to get to the place where he is and just ask him to help us. It means to turn to him and trust him because, as he says, he is going to be exalted in all the earth. Do you know that God's plans are going to stand? And nothing that's going on in the world is going to stop that. Verse 9 says, he causes all wars to cease, shatters our weapons. Verse 11, he says, he is with us. And all of this is still true. God is going to deal with every fear that keeps you up at night. He's going to deal with every problem that you rack your brain trying to figure out a solution for. These things are going to happen. And until that time, we can be still in him. I want you to think for a moment with me of the most relaxing place in life for you. Maybe that's a spa with that Eastern music playing, with that certain smell that's going on, and you got that place, and you're just like, I can relax. Maybe it's a certain destination. Maybe it's the Cape. Maybe it's Newport. Maybe it's a cabin. It's camping. Maybe it's a lake, a beach, a place where you can get away, and you know when you get there, it's just that, I can relax. I can take a deep breath. Slow your mind. I want you to think about that for a moment. Now, as you experience that, and maybe you even your heartbeat slows a little bit, your breathing gets a little bit more regular. One of the things we all remember is the beauty of those things is we get great memories. The problem with those things is we can't always be there, right? We've got other places to be. That's our getaway. But here's the good thing we can know. When we turn to God, we can enter his throne room where he's firmly in control, dealing with all of our issues any time or day, and we can go to that place and relax with God because he is an ever-present help in times of trouble. So I wonder today, as we think about that, what it means to get before God and relax, I wonder what it would look like for you to relax in him today. What would it look like to redirect from fear into faith? What would it look like for you to stop trying to control your circumstances and all your issues, and for you, like a little child, to take your broken stuff and put it in your big daddy, God's hands, and say, help me. Help me figure this out. What would that look like for you today? What would it look like for you to stop running ragged, stop running for the things that you think are going to fulfill you, stop running from the things that you think are going to kill you, and just turn to God and be really, really still and just know that he is God, to know that your times are in his hands, to know that he's got all things in control and that you are secure in him. To know that even if you lost your very life today, that that's not the end of the story. And there is still hope, even then. Do you believe that? What would it look like for you to live in light of that reality? What would it look like to slow down your fast-beating heart? And like the Apostle John, take your head and lean it against Jesus' chest, so that you could hear and feel his heartbeat. And maybe your heartbeat would begin to work in the rhythm of his, and that you'd be just fully aligned with God, fully being still and trusting him. In times of trouble, turn to God for the help and hope that you need. My brothers and sisters in Jesus, can I reassure you today? We are going to be okay. That's the truth. But the question is, so what do we do then? Do we just sit back and huddle up with God and ride out the storm until the danger is past? No, we don't do that because we're Christians. Christian means that we are a follower of Jesus, and Jesus was a person that was on the go, going out into the danger, going out into the community, and stepping out to where people are. This means after we've redirected and we've gone from operating in fear to operating in a place of faith, and after we've relaxed and calmed down and got ourselves real still before God and put ourselves before him, after we've redirected and after we've relaxed, we roll out. Historically, in times of trouble, it's the Christians who are the ones that go out and care for people and put their very lives on the line for the love of Jesus, again, even if it costs them their very lives. And again, the question that I want to ask you is, what if this is our time? Do you want to know what I've been wrestling with over the past week as we deal with all the uncertainties? It's this. What does Jesus want to do with our church in our community in these troubled times we live in? I don't have the answer for you yet, but I know this. It's not business as usual. We've been disrupted. And the last thing I want to do is like, okay, how can we just as quickly get back to things as normal? What if God doesn't want things to be normal for right now? What if God wants to mix things up and shake us up so that we can be more effective and have a greater sense of urgency? What if our church were to shine brightly now with all the other sister churches partnering in our community and around our world? And the question that we have to ask is, what is the opportunity that's before us? We are in a unique moment of history, and we need to figure this out. A few days ago, I got on the phone with a town official from West Hartford, and we told them, we said, hey, this is, we're the church that meets in the school. And she said, oh, yeah, I know who you guys are. You guys work with helping to fill the food pantry lots of times and do community outreach projects. And by the way, yay, all of you. I'm so glad that that's part of our reputation with town officials. That's a great thing. And as I began to talk to her, I said, look, I know you guys are working hard. Know that we're... As a church, we're part of this community. We don't want to live in isolation. So I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing. And I want to offer that at Calvary, you've got an army of men and women and kids at your disposal. So would you let us know if there's anything we can do that would be helpful to you? Because I know that you often hear from Christians at a time like this, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And I want you to know our thoughts and prayers are with you. We are going to be praying for you. But I also want you to know our hands and feet are with you. So call us and let us know. And she said, oh, that's so awesome of you. She's like, I'm so moved. I love that there's that sense of care. And truth be told, we don't know the help we need yet. And I said, I figured that's the case. But I want to let you know now, so when you start dreaming and thinking about what we can do, if you knew that there were several hundred people that are willing to come alongside you, then maybe that would change your plans. She thanked us and said she'll let us know and tell us what she needs. And listen, I think we need to be doing a whole lot more of these things because, again, what does it look like for us to shine for Jesus in times of trouble as we heavily lean into him and then let him redirect us, relaxing in him, knowing he's with us as we move forward into loving our neighbors as ourselves? That's the second greatest commandment. The first commandment, love God with everything you have, your heart, soul, mind, strength. Your second commandment is, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. So what does it look like in times like this to be ready to respond? And I don't know, but I'm asking you to pray. Please pray with me so that we can discern about this, and then please be ready to be deployed. And I don't know if it's going to look like a big project that a whole bunch of us get to work on together. I don't know if it's a thing that we're, as a bunch of individuals, we need to go out and love your neighbor in the community that you're with, serve your neighbor, spend time with your neighbor, maybe get some groceries for your neighbor. I don't know what the individual needs are. Maybe if this is encouraging to you today, this message, share on your social, take the risk of sharing on your social media page. And I don't know what it is, but I do know that this is the time, this is the opportunity. You and I have the opportunity to make Jesus the hero of this season. Not ourselves, but Jesus the hero as we step forth, serve people around them, as they know that the reason we're doing this is because the God that we serve has told us that this is how we should love people and this is how we should respond. So let's be ready to share that hope. Let's be ready to go out and mobilize in times of trouble. Let's let people know that there is a God that loves them and is available for them too. And that's my hope and prayer for us today. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for you. But I want to say to us once again, let's not miss this moment. Let's shine for Jesus. And in a moment, I want to talk to you, that those of you that aren't sure about your relationship with Jesus, I want to pray for you. But first, I want to pray for everybody that already believes and trusts in Jesus for us now. So let's do that. God, we come before you. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters. And yeah, this isn't traditional. And yeah, we're online instead of live together today. But I just pray for each person watching in their home, their office, wherever they happen to be, that you would give a blessing today to them, that you would encourage them to turn from any fear in their life and turn back to faith in you, and that you'd help search their hearts. May each person today or in the days to come create a space where they can offer themselves to you afresh, where they can hear your voice, when they can hear what it is that you're trying to do. And God, I pray that you'd help my brothers and sisters relax. Help them to be still and know that you're God, whether it's world problems, personal problems. God, we all have issues that we're dealing with. Help them know that you're their strong God. You're their protector, and there's no bullies in life that are stronger than you, that you can overcome, you have overcome, you will overcome to your glory, for you, in your strength, for your glory. We thank you for those things. And God, I pray too that you won't let that we won't just accept that you're working in us, you're encouraging us, but God, that we would mobilize. Help us risk our lives, help us risk everything that is something that we've come to realize is safety and comfort and the norm to go out and shine for you. God, help us have discontent birthed in our hearts if we're only living for ourselves and look out for the people around us, especially the people that don't know you. Let this be our moment to shine. And listen, I want to say something if you're watching this today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, or you're not sure what that means, I want to say to you that I know that the coronavirus is a scary thing. I absolutely know that. And I don't want to exploit a scary thing and a pandemic that's going on. But I would be remiss to say that there is something just as dangerous to your soul that if you don't deal with, that at some point you're going to have to deal with, and it can lead to a place that you don't want to be. And what I'm talking about is this idea of sin. Sin simply means missing the mark for in life. It means being off target. And you and I, listen, when it comes to our own standards, we can't even live up to our own standards, never mind God's standards. And the Bible says that the wages of sin, what we earn for sin and being off target from God's standards, is death. That's a spiritual death, and that's a physical death. And yet, and every single person, myself included, has failed to live up to that. And because of that, we have to deal with this sin disease, this disease that kills our body, kills our soul, and leaves us in a place far from God. But here is the good news, that Jesus, the same Jesus that helped Peter walk on water, is the one who stretched out his arms and died for us and paid the price. His blood is the remedy for this sin in our souls that helps heal us from that and help us to be forgiven from the guilt, the shame, and this sin that separates us from God. Jesus bridges the gap and helps us to be relationally right with him, so that we can know that we are redirecting from our old way to our new way in Christ, that we can relax in him because our future's secure. And yes, we're not perfect, but he continually works things out in our lives. And we can know that we, when we give our lives to Jesus, can find that confidence and hope in him, that even if we lost our life today, our eternity would be secure in him. And so it all begins, as I said, as a Christian even, you have to redirect your life every single day and turn to him. But it begins with a first-time decision. And so right now, I'm going to say a prayer, and even from where you are in your home, you can join me and you can say this prayer out to God, and he will hear you and he'll respond. You can just say a prayer like this: Dear God, I thank you that you love me despite all the things I've done wrong, despite the failures in my life, despite the things I'm guilty for, ashamed of. You love me. Jesus died for me. And today I believe that, Lord. I believe that not only he died, but he rose from the dead. And that gives me hope of resurrected life as well. And I don't know everything that this means, but I know that I want to experience all that you have for me. So today, in response to Jesus giving his life for me, I give my life to you, and I ask you, help me, lead me, redirect me from this day forward, in Jesus' name, amen.